Hey, this is Liz.
Hey, this is Heather.
And we are Nerdy Bitches Podcast,
a show where two geeky ladies podcast their way through pop culture.
From movies and TV to our regular book club and everything in between, we bring you our favorite fandoms with a feminine eye.
We are talking Star Wars, Star Trek, DC, Marvel, comic books, and anime.
And don't forget sci-fi, fantasy, action movies, video games, D&D, board games, and so much more.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you find awesome podcasts.
You can also find us hanging out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and at nerdybitches.com.
See you soon.
Hey, I heard you like movies.
I heard you like to hustle.
I heard you like podcasts.
Well, guess what?
There's a podcast for you out there called The Home Video Hustle.
Damn right.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag. What does that mean? Every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I put a bunch of movies in a bag, and PJ picks one out at random. Mm-hmm. And then we just watch it. We talk about it for maybe like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever we feel like doing, wherever the conversation leads us.
But do we actually talk about the movie?
Most of the time.
Ah.
Tangents galore.
Yes.
So believe me, we may be a movie podcast, but it's not always about movies. We might talk about video games.
Mm-hmm. Music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the big one, music. Sometimes we might get a little bit of politicalness in there.
Yes.
Sometimes we may just, oh, we know what we like to do. We like to tell stories, PJ.
Ah, yes.
I am the master storyteller of the podcast realm. Undefeated. So if you like to hear about movies, video games, whatever foolishness comes to our mind, the most random stuff you can think of, check out the Home Video Hustle. You can find us on the Stitchers.
Yes.
The Google Play.
Yes.
Apple Podcasts.
What else?
Podbean.
What else?
Podcast Addict.
Goddamn.
All that. Ain't no reason you can't get your hustle on. We everywhere. Worldwide, baby.
Hustle, mother. Hustle.
Hey, we can't cuss in the promo, PJ.
Ah.
We gotta be family friendly. There may be podcasts out there that don't want his hair to say
ah.
All that good fun stuff.
Well, you.
Yeah. don't run the listeners away, PJ.
Ah, I'm sorry.
But this is going kind of long.
Yes.
So we'll end this and say, hey, check out the Home Video Hustle every Friday on all the various podcast outlets. Peace.
Peace.
The Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes.
Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everybody. Your new favorite podcast, it's the Halloween edition.
Ooh.
Halloween's
spooky. Halloween's
creepy.
It's now time.
For the Digital Movie Club. Yes.
But before we do that, welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Quick news.
First of all, everyone's here. John, hello.
Hey.
Jake, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Sandy, hello.
I live here now.
Sandy's like a permanent guest. She's like Martin Landau on the first season of Mission Impossible. That was a reference for one person, and John got it. And he's sitting right here. It's good podcasting.
The whole season.
Justine's here.
Howdy.
She's got a little star in the back of her head. What is that, Justine, back there?
It's like a pineapple.
Oh, you're wearing a pineapple.
Yes.
I love pineapples, especially on my pizza.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Yeah, I heard a different pee right there.
On my peck-peck.
You got pee-pee?
It's peck-peck Patrick.
Oh.
How you doing?
I'm good. Hello.
It's time, guys. We're doing a rare evening record. First of all, shout out to the crew. I had something come up at the last minute. I had to reschedule this literally the evening before we were supposed to start, and everybody accommodated me, and I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that. Thank you.
We bend over backwards.
We just want the favor repaid. That's all.
Okay.
I ask for nothing.
I love you guys.
I ask for nothing. I know I'll get nothing, so ask for nothing.
Ask for nothing. Keep your expectations low,
and you'll never be disappointed.
Those were my wedding vows.
Whoa!
Did anyone? We'll get into it at another date, but did everyone see the Star Wars trailer?
Yes.
Yes.
Did anyone else cry?
I pooped. I pooped my pants.
Yeah. I want that John Williams score.
I swinged.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to die.
Is his chest even longer than before? Mm-hmm. Even wider?
Even better.
Kylo Ren.
Are you talking about the compact torso?
Yeah.
And the those His nipples.
He looked a little sad, and I was like, "Ooh, schwing." Yeah.
You like emo, an emo guy?
Chest even wider.
I
than
like
before.
Him sad.
His nipples would go great with that headband you're wearing. That
your fantasies.
Your fantasies.
His nipples would go great with your headband.
Yep.
Story of my life.
We're of course talking about the Kylo Ren nipples.
We're of course talking about the C-3PO nipples. I'm just looking at my friends.
They are about the size of C-3PO's eye sockets. Mm.
Took 9 movies to finally kill C-3PO.
Good old pepperoni
slices.
He's
not
slices.
Going anywhere.
I hope he just explodes. I hope they make him like a walking time bomb, and that's just the only way he goes out.
I'll bet you what they're doing. It looks like they're listen, J.J. Abrams is a genius. That's how he's going to work everybody in. Yet, your flashback via C-3PO.
Ah.
Lame.
You get everybody to come in. You get
genius.
You get your Hamill. You get your
and you
get
see
your Ford. You get your
you see what's his face in the background. You see Lando in the background.
You get your Dooku. You get your
Lando's back.
Yeah. Love it. He's still wearing that cape. Still rocking that cape. All right, guys. Let's talk about his Digital Movie Club. You know, we'll talk about the Star Wars trailer eventually as we get closer to it. It's still a long ways off. Just go online and look up the 15, 25, 45, 75, whatever it is, things you missed in the Star Wars trailer. There's probably about 50 of them now.
There's a lot.
Tickets on sale now.
Mm-hmm. Still haven't bought them. I'm going to wait till the last minute. I always get a good seat that way.
No, I usually wait till like the day after it comes out and go see it.
There you go. Good for you. We need to review it for the podcast, but other than that, you know, who cares?
I'll see it before a show. Fuddruckers, man.
All right. It's time for the Digital Movie Club. We're going to do a spooky version of the...
Spooky.
There we go. We haven't. This has not been rehearsed whatsoever.
Nope.
Do we ever? We never rehearse.
Never rehearse.
It's not fun. It's not fun if you rehearse.
No. It's like editing.
Ad lib.
People just want to hear us struggle. It's great. Here we go. Dun-dun.
Dun-dun.
Digital movies. Digital movies. Digital movies.
You're in the club.
Welcome back to another edition.
That was like
blah blah blah.
Welcome to another edition of the Digital Movie Club. It's the Halloween edition.
Avant Azaka Blood.
Halloween. Oh, I didn't turn that up.
Halloween.
You have a button that makes it sound like Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross.
There it is, right there.
Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross.
Halloween spoof. There we go. Okay. So this week, now please down. We discussed three. Masterpieces of horror.
John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yes.
John Carpenter produced Halloween 2. And the movie that John Carpenter had nothing to do with.
John Landis's.
American Werewolf in London.
John Landis's and American Werewolf in
London. So let's discuss. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take it. I feel like the least of these is Halloween 2, and I don't think anyone here will disagree. Many of you will ask why is it in the Digital Movie Club?
Was it part of
you
a set?
You got it for free.
It was part of a bundle.
Stop doing that to us. It's the worst.
Did you get bullshit. Halloween 3 too?
But I did love this movie when I was in high school. I used to watch it at the video store.
Was it because of the boobs?
All three movies you get to see boobs.
Listen, I am not going to confirm or deny that it was because of the
It was the boobs. I will never confirm or deny.
It's because I have a soft spot for Jamie Lee Curtis. Mm-hmm. Do you not?
Did you watch the new one?
I didn't.
It was good.
Oh, your soft spot for Jamie Lee Curtis.
You know what? That was actually
I was pretty busy watching True Lies.
Name of his sex tape.
It was actually pretty damn good. That last one. They did a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they pretended that none of the sequels happened.
Including. Sorry.
What's going on?
What are you doing?
I keep trying to make this work.
They skipped number 2? Why? She's in it.
Because they really didn't like the idea of the whole subplot with that she's his sister and all that. So
does that one come up in the new one?
That's a weird.
They game. Just pretended that that never happened. They said pretend that none of the sequels happened.
Well, as soon as he said that that was his sister, I was like, oh, so we're all safe. Just as long as we're not near her, yeah. We're fine.
Now, what's funny is this script was written by John.
Like, how can I be scared if she's going after one single person?
I think put her out in a field somewhere, yeah. And everyone else will be fine.
Yeah. Also, it's obviously not true because he's killing everybody.
Well, just
in
give
the whole
her
city.
To him, yeah. And we're done.
Yeah.
She's the best one at getting away. Everyone else is. Everybody
she's like the only dead. Smart one in town. Everybody else is all, like Jake says, he could be right behind you and they're like, oh,
he could be breathing right behind them and like, is there a draft in here? This is
what are you
weird.
Doing? Tom?
She already, like, the phones go dead. She already knows. Okay, he's still alive.
Don't touch me there. Well, our computer's down in the studio, unfortunately, so maybe if I feel like it, no, I probably won't do that. I probably won't drop in the trailers.
Oh, okay.
Nice. But we can continue.
We don't need them.
So we'll talk about Halloween 2.
That'll tell you what the Rotten Tomatoes is, though, right?
I will look it up right now. We just can't get any. The audio's not working, but we're doing it old school. We might I might even edit in some ads. Some
what
ads.
If there's no audio right now recording?
Halloween 2.
Damn.
28% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, that's about right.
6.5% on IMDb.
6.5. Mm.
Directed by Rick Rosenthal.
Never heard of him.
And
I think it was his first movie.
It made $25 million.
That's a surprise. It had a budget of 2.5.
Listen to what he made. He made Bad Boys with Sean Penn.
Huh.
Halloween 2. Then he made Halloween Resurrection, which is the one that brought back Jamie Lee Curtis. Great cast, though. A lot of John Carpenter regulars show up because they were in the original, so they come back for this one. He did make Birds too.
Mm.
How about that?
I don't know what that is.
Birds is not a movie that needs a sequel.
There oh, you know what he did make that I love that I'm gonna say is an awesome movie. Better Off Dead.
Oh yeah,
Better Off Dead
with John Cusack.
John Cusack. That's a great movie.
Well, there you go.
And that's not on the Digital Movie Club, but it might be by the time we get to 1985.
You know, this was his first movie, and he said that everybody had a hand in it. Like the producers, the money guys, everybody was telling him, no, less of this, more of that, you know, and he's all, you know. It's like, for your first movie, and everyone's over your shoulder going, no, we need more of this.
Well, because the first one was such a huge hit. Yeah. Remember,
everybody had their hand
Halloween
in the
was a
jar.
Huge hit.
Oh, yeah.
Basically kicked off the modern slasher genre.
And you probably, that's why this was a hit, too, because people just went, just because of the title, the poster. Mm-hmm. They're just like, okay.
Eight Halloween movies. Including the most recent one.
Let's start with Justine, because I know that she loved this one. So, Justine, take it away.
I hate this movie.
Why do you hate it?
I do like Donald Pleasance, though.
Yay!
It's just a pleasure to see him.
Hey.
Always. And he's overacting like crazy.
Seriously, I'm like, he is just should not be in this movie.
I shot him six times and he got away.
He's chewing the scenery. Yes. He's literally chewing the scenery.
He's like the only one. He's the smartest one there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it that he died. That just sucks.
Is that the boogeyman?
By the way, yes. Kurt Russell's stuntman and another John Carpenter favorite. Plays Michael Myers, billed as the Shape when he's in the
Warlock.
Captain Kirk
is
mess.
It?
It's Dick Warlock.
Dick
is his
Warlock.
Name. What a great name!
I know. Is that a stage name or is that his real name?
Dick
Warlock.
Dr. Loomis, of course. The Loomis is taken from
it's my stage
from
name.
Psycho.
Did you catch Lee Brackett? One of the characters is named Lee Brackett. I'm not kidding.
Good old.
Isn't that great?
Good old. Because John Carpenter did write it, I believe.
He did. Him and Deborah Hill.
Yeah.
So, but who knows, you know.
I was just watching a bunch of stupid things happen. You're like, why is this person doing that? Why is this person doing this? And it just, I'm guessing the typical horror movie started with this one.
Well, Halloween really kicked that genre off, but yeah, this is where you start to see how the copies are.
Yes.
But you know what it is? It's because it's not John Carpenter directing.
Yeah.
He's got a way of getting the suspense really. He really ratchets up the suspense, and you don't really immediately. I'm going. This is not feeling like the first one.
No.
Yeah.
There's too much. There's too much dead air. There's too much like walking around, nothing happening.
I do like the use of Mr. Sandman.
Too much stupidity.
I did like that,
Mr. Sandman.
Yes.
Bring me a dream.
Boom, 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 boom.
Make him the cutest. And then just.
And it's one of those movies where if they had cell phones, it would have ended really quickly.
Yeah.
Like the guy with the radio not working, she's like, I can't hear you. And
I do like the scenes. There is a certain, like all the stuff he got right, this director got right, is all the stuff where they're just walking around the town and you're kind of get a lot of that atmosphere. And it does seem like it's this little town in the middle of nowhere. When he's kind of patrolling the alleys and kind of like...
Yeah, that one's pretty good. Like, and you see his yeah. view.
Like the first
really
20, 30, like the first 20 minutes.
Before
maybe.
They get to the hospital. It's kind of better.
It's the hospital, yeah. Just all went downhill from the hospital.
And what always bugged me, I told you this before, what always bugged me, like from the first time I saw it back in like 82, was why... They're not explaining why the lights are suddenly out. And then when I was watching this thing, there is like a on the DVD, there's like deleted scenes. And that's one of the scenes where they go, damn, the lights are out. We'll have to put the generator on. And I'm going, okay. Because through the whole movie, I was going, what? I don't understand. They're just out for atmosphere. Why are the lights out?
Like yeah. all of a sudden, like all the lights are out. I'm like, what?
They didn't explain it. It's like, we know we cut the phone lines.
PG&E blackout, period. Mm.
It bothers me when he's pushing the girl's head into the water, but then nothing happens to his skin.
Well, because he's
a monster.
But nothing.
Because he's the boogeyman.
But nothing.
I suppose if you get 6 shots in the heart and you're still walking around, I guess you could take some hot water.
But
on
his
your
skin
hands.
Should be peeling without him, like.
Was he wearing
feeling
gloves?
It, really.
Or something?
He's no. not. His skin should just, like,
I
peel
I think that
a
would be
bit.
Creepier if his skin started to peel.
Yeah, and he's just like,
care.
Whatever. Yeah.
Or what if he went, ow, that smarts?
Ow. Oh, you crazy?
Hey.
And then the one
Joe
I don't
Besser.
Get is.
Joe Besser is Mike
the
Myers.
Love interest.
Ow!
The love interest to Jamie Lee Curtis. He slips, hits his head
on the blood, yeah.
And then what? He died now at the end, or
no?
He's still
he has
just
a concussion,
out. So he just passed out in that car.
He's yeah. concussed,
and yeah. she just leaves him.
He's been successful.
That's kind of rude.
That's another deleted scene. They showed these deleted scenes. There was an alternate ending where he's in the. He's in the ambulance with her, with his head all bandaged up.
Damn right, she left him.
That would be better, because otherwise, they didn't address that at all.
They cut that, and so it's one of the deleted scenes they show. He gets up with the sheet over him, and so you get another gotcha. You think it's him. You think it's Michael Myers in the ambulance, and then it falls off and it's him.
Oh, that would have been better.
And she's like crying and laughing and going, oh, you're okay. He's all, yeah.
Why didn't I just... How did he not see a giant pool of blood on the floor when he was walking?
Because the lights
are out.
Yeah.
Okay, but when you step into it, it's like sticky, slippery.
There's the one lady who's running the whole show, and then she's dead. On
also,
the...
you don't even see her die either. You just see her.
It is a pretty horrible way for her to go, though.
Yeah.
Why is there a teenager dressed exactly like Mike Myers?
Oh, that was my favorite part of the movie. The kid gets blown
that
up.
That was so sad.
He gets blown up, and everybody's like, well, isn't Michael Myers, so I guess... That kid's just dead then and nobody cares?
But at least they found out who he was, though.
They just kind of throw their shoulders up like, well, it's Loomis's fault. They chase the kid into the street. And he's drunk and gets hit by a car.
Also, he's like firing that gun everywhere.
And why does every single cop like immediately just trust this guy?
Yeah, crazy old man with a gun.
Crazy old man with a gun. He's like, well, he's got a gun and he's a scientist.
Well, then they check the dental records and like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they're just like, well, he's dead. And then that's it.
No.
But why does he have the same costume in the first place?
It's the
that's
same
a,
night.
Well, that's a William Shatner mask.
It's a William Shatner
mask. So I guess it exists as a mask.
That's a William Shatner.
It is. It really is. Right? They painted it gray and sort of like combed the hair up. That is a William Shatner mask, actually, right?
It is, yeah. That's no joke. They flipped it inside out and painted it. It's a Captain Kirk.
So why isn't he wearing a Star Trek shirt?
Because it's painted.
Yeah, why is he dressed exactly like me?
This is a really good movie if you want to yell at people.
Yes, all horror movies. It's every horror movie.
But this might be the start of it, though, because it's so typical, but it's something that we've seen all the time.
It's great when you, because this makes you want to go back and watch the original Halloween and go, oh, yeah, this is a good movie. This is a really scary
movie. No, I was thinking of that while I'm watching it going, why does it work in the first one? I'm going, it's John Carpenter knows how to, he knows how to cut it. How to get the maximum, sweat in each scene,
I think the remake did a great job, too, to kind of capture that general feel.
What did you think?
I like the remake, yeah.
What did you think, Patrick?
Trash.
You loved it?
I hated this movie. It was a waste of my damn time.
I love that you guys hated it.
It's just like... The first one, I didn't enjoy the first one either. I think I rated it like a 5 or a 6.
I can tell all the ratings later on.
I just like watching into this one. I'm like, okay, so I was okay with the way the first one ended, and then he gets up. So right, cliffhanger, and then he gets shot a bunch of times, and I'm just like, nah, this doesn't make sense anymore.
Except that it made money. It makes sense in that if it made this an enormous amount of money. What was it? Like, it cost like $2 million to make.
It made $25 million.
Like, yeah. So it's like.
It was a big moneymaker, but it just, as far as like story wise and interest.
I mean, there's 8 more of these
and it's
to come.
Not scary in the sense, he's not scary. It's just predictable. Like, okay, he shows up, everybody's going to die in there.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen.
Sandy, you loved it?
Man, this is a downer.
Oh, you guys, are, this. Don't worry, we're going to go up. It goes up from here.
Yeah,
I hope.
But we're just getting this out of the way. Yeah.
We start at rock bottom and work our way up.
That's right. What did you think, Jake?
My
you
life's
loved
at
it?
Rock bottom all the time.
You know, it's just Mike Myers. It's just all these, like the 80s kind of started that whole thing of just like the blissfully unaware people of whatever movie you're watching, how they somehow don't realize this man who's literally walking like right past them. Holding a knife, like, oh, I don't know. I guess it's just, yeah.
It's Halloween. It must be okay.
It's none of my business. So, yeah, it's...
I'm thinking ahead. I'm not ignoring it. I'm thinking ahead to another movie that's going to explain all of this.
It's going to make it all...
It's going to make it all better.
Another movie
better.
In our digital movie club when we get to the 2000s.
Is it called Halloween Explained?
It's called...
Halloween 3000?
It's called Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to watch any of the Friday the 13th?
No, I don't have any of those. Yeah. Halloween was always my favorite of that series just because the first one was so good.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was less goofy than the Jason movies.
Or how about Nightmare on Elm Street?
Nah, yeah. They're fine, but I don't.
But they all are based on the same thing, particularly the Jason movies. They've got a bunch of horny kids out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you know? If you're banging, you're going
to
die.
How else are you going to get kids to go out in the middle of nowhere?
How else are you going to get kids in the theater?
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, they're not even watching.
I mean, the that's only right. benefit of this movie is guaranteed boob.
Just white, it's just white noise.
And you darn tootin'.
John, you loved it?
No, I hated it.
Awful. Is this going to be our lowest ranked?
I think so.
No, it can't be.
I'm watching this just going, this is really awful.
I'm going to give it a higher ranking than
we
you
gave
guys
Zardos like a 1, I think.
All right, here we go. Let's rank it.
Wait, do you want me to give everyone's ranking from last movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hear what we gave Halloween 1.
Okay, Halloween 1, we'll start with me. I gave it a 5, mm-hmm. Patrick gave it a 6, Jake gave it a 7.5, and
Mike Myers?
Mario and Mike? John Sandy gave it a 7.
Yeah, that's about right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
John, what do you rank it?
I give it a 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just did not enjoy it at all.
Oh, okay.
Patrick?
Yeah, it's a 2.
Justine?
Wow. I'm going to change. No. I gave it a 4.
What?
Justine, high five.
I didn't like it, but I also liked, I don't know, there were things I liked about it. Like, I did like the streets and everything.
That's why
you
got a 2.
When we get to my ranking, Justine, you and I.
But that was kind of suspenseful. All right.
Sandy?
I also had 4 on the brain.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
4.
Guess what, girls?
I've seen worse movies.
You call.
Oh, shit.
Girls.
That should have been the thing on the poster. Yeah. I've seen worse movies.
I'm your Roger Bosley, Ebert. Girls, because I'm going to give it a 4. And this is.
That doesn't make you my Bosley.
Yeah, because
you're just angels.
Yeah, you guys are the angels.
No.
We don't want to be your angels.
You're not Bosley.
Well, I guess I'm an angel, too, because I also give it a
4. Get out of here.
I'm out. I give it a 5.
No, I changed my mind.
I give it a 4.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good for you. Justine, same thing. There's elements of it that I really enjoy.
There were things I liked.
And that's why I
it's
gave
enjoyable
it a 2.
In how watching a train wreck's enjoyable. You're just like,
it's
you
not
can't
even
look away.
No.
Jake,
you know
don't. No.
And his point of view was pretty creepy. Or I thought it was kind of creepy watching it.
Here's what you guys are missing out on. There are so many more 80s horror movies that are
worse.
Way
worse.
Yeah.
That's true.
This
yeah.
is no,
actually
I know.
Competently made. Yeah, it's just kind of boring.
Also, the acting is like.
Yeah,
like maybe the writing was bad, but the acting was pretty good.
It's
worst sin is that it's boring because it's not poorly made; it's just boring.
Mm-hmm. And at least it's Jamie Lee Curtis again. They could have changed
again,
the character. And it was
I can
horrible.
Watch Jamie Lee Curtis, and I can watch Donald Pleasance, yeah. and I'll love.
I like
it,
Donald Pleasance; he's fine.
Yes, him.
Sam Hain. It is the ancient festival, the pagan festival.
Yeah, like, where the fuck did that come from?
I love that he's going, and you let him out. I didn't let him out. I warned them not to let him out. I told them, please don't let him out.
I shot him 6 times. And today we'll be drawing the warbler. And
I know, I kept thinking, are you the scrounger? I need some tea.
Yeah, I would like some tea.
Yes.
All right. Good old Donald Pleasance.
Hello, yes. I'm Dr. Loomis.
I shot him 6 times in the chest.
See, James Mason could have done
what
that.
If James Mason just started like, he's going, Laurie, I am your brother, and I've killed many, and now you must die.
Face Michael Myers. Face Mr. Myers.
I love it. Let's talk about the next movie on our list. This is one I'm very curious about. We're going to save The Thing for last.
Sure.
Fans of Creedence Clearwater Revival, of course, can never forget this movie. It's a little film we like to call An American Werewolf in London. Not American Werewolf in London. An American Werewolf in London. And it gets an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right on.
7.5 on IMDb. Mm-hmm. Directed by John Landis. Mm-hmm. Screenplay by John Landis with a budget of $10 million U.S. dollars.
$10 million?
How much did it make?
Let's find out.
I'm going to guess.
Are we going to do a home video hustle? Does everybody want to guess?
I'm going to guess.
Everyone's going to guess.
I don't want to guess.
$45
million. I just want to know.
Right.
45. Yeah.
I'll say like 60.
35.
I don't understand. I can't do those.
I don't understand.
I just want to know.
$30 million.
Oh, that's close.
And it costs That's a lot of money, though.
That's a decent, yeah.
It tripled its money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was it filmed?
It was filmed in the UK.
Yep. Some of it's in Wales, right?
In London. Yeah, I think the slaughtered lamb is in London. It's filming. Let's see.
Oh, and they actually shot in Piccadilly Circus. He got them to close down traffic for a couple nights.
And here's another thing. He killed an actual Bobby when the car hit him. No, I'm kidding. That of course, is a Twilight Zone, the movie reference.
Poor John.
Poor John.
Your eyes rolled out your damn head.
It's okay, John. Let's talk about it.
I'm a big John Landis fan.
We all are. We've loved all of his movies so far. What have we seen so far?
And this is after Blues Brothers.
We've seen the Blues Brothers?
He did Animal House, Blues Brothers, then American Werewolf in London.
This is his movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't you recognize the humor?
It's weird because I don't like those other movies.
but you like this one.
Did you guys recognize Jenny A. Gutter from Lauren?
Yeah.
Logan's Run? Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Run.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Somebody get the mop.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the main guy? David?
Clean up and all.
He's the Dr. Pepper guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't you like to be a Pepper, too?
I like him.
It's a guy doing a Eugene Levy impersonation.
And Griffin Dunne is great. I love his friend, Jack. It's so great. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it. Who had seen this film before? Justine had seen it, and John had seen it.
Had not.
So let's start with a Sandy, because her mouth is full. Let's start with a Jake, because her mouth is full.
I'm always a fan. If you give me a vampire werewolf movie, I will always like it.
And this is like the...
Why, I don't know.
This kicked off like a modern... This was huge at the time.
Uh-huh.
The special effects were talked about all over the place.
And how do you like that with no CGI? That's pretty amazing.
All practical effects look really good.
Puppetry at its best.
Pneumatic. Latex rubber and pneumatic.
Yeah, what did you like about it, Jake? Was this a good werewolf movie for you?
I thought it was a solid werewolf movie. It was just, you know... It's got a little bit of everything in it. A little bit of horror, a little bit of humor, a little bit of action.
And there's just some weird stuff.
Just like a lot of weird stuff in between.
Like when he has the nightmare about the werewolf. What is going on in here?
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, I like it. I mean, when they kind
trip
of...
Trip balls too, I'm sure.
Right. I like it when they kind of keep to like that whole mythos with werewolves and them having, you know, fever dreams and everything while leading up to the next full moon and everything, so... Yeah, it was good. And the werewolf looked pretty solid.
Yeah.
I actually saw the werewolf. I just kind of anticlimactic.
Oh, when you finally saw it.
No, the ending at the very end is like, oh, he's dead. Okay, movie's over.
Yeah, they just kind of kill
him. Show's over.
That's not
a happy ending.
Nope. That's the only thing where they kind of deviate. There's no silver bullet. They just kill him.
No.
Yeah. But I do...
The lead up to them initially getting attacked by it, I thought was really cool. It was very kind of spooky and...
Mm-hmm.
Really creepy with the town. It's like they're holding like a deep, dark secret.
Yeah.
And
when they walk into that pub.
No food here.
Oh, hello. Good to see you. Yeah. It's like, ask him about the pentagram. Yeah. I'm not going to ask him. He'll ask him.
And they even mention the old Lon Chaney. Like,
he says in the bar, I love that. All the red little references. It's like Lon Chaney Jr. in Universal Studios. They say that the pentagram is the sign of the werewolf.
Yeah.
I love that. Ask him. I'm not going to ask him.
It was the werewolf.
Only thing I thought, one of the things I thought was weird was the nurse was just totally cool with it. Everything he was saying.
She was in love with him.
She
got dicked down.
Zero red flags.
Whoa.
It was a romance. Come on.
Just means like, I feel like, I'm going to turn into a werewolf. I was talking with my dead friend who was a zombie, and you're not, like, there's no, like, red, like, warning light.
When you look like that, it doesn't matter what's worse. Coming out of your mouth.
I think when you're in love, you forgive a lot.
When you look like who?
David.
You thought David was good looking?
Oh, yeah.
He's like a low rent Eugene Levy. It wasn't even like
like a low rent Dennis Hoffman.
I think he was at the time. He's I think a leading man looking guy. Yeah.
Really, you think so? Mm-hmm. Sandy, that's your type, huh? Mm-hmm. A David. David. Yeah, I don't know. David. I can do David in a British. David.
And she is so lovely in this.
Isn't she lovely?
Isn't she lovely?
Hello. Hello, David.
Also, the accent just puts it right through
the
roof.
I'll be taking David, care of you.
The master.
I'll be taking.
I know.
Where did you talk about that?
We should have to do this again tomorrow, David.
I'll be taking you home now, and you'll be ripping off my clothes and having a night of euphoric excitement and pleasure.
David, I'll be taking the best care you've ever had in your life. Please enjoy it.
And I'll scrub behind her ears.
Yes. It's great when they're laying in bed. She goes, what, the one with Oliver Reed? No, the one with Lon Chaney. He's still talking about it. You see the Wolfman? What, with Oliver Reed?
There's a Wolfman with Oliver Reed?
Oh, yeah, Curse of the Werewolf. Yeah, that was a Hammer film.
I don't remember.
Yeah, check it out. Check out the pictures. The makeup's really cool. All right. Anyway, I love that she, because it's England, that's just perfect. She's all, what, the one with Oliver Reed? No, the one with Lon Chaney. So great.
Did you... Jake, were you thrown by any of it? Were you expecting it to be a little more serious? Was it too comedic for you?
I mean, I wasn't expecting it to take itself 100% seriously, because you can only take yourself so serious when it comes to those movies. Otherwise, you'll have, like, Underworld is fun, but it takes itself a little too serious. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because there's a lot of laughs in it. Yeah. But once he's the werewolf, that's all very serious.
It rides a very fine line between serious and comedy.
He really gets the balance right.
Yeah.
And you know, they hadn't really done this sort of thing before. He said that some of the money people were like, it's too scary to be a comedy and it's too funny to be a horror film. Yeah. They said, we don't get it. Why do you have to have laughs? And he's all, believe me, this is gonna work. You just have to trust me, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of make a huge contrast when he does become the werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sandy, do you think it worked?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You I like love when one? They go into the theater and there's like a porno playing, but then the police have to go investigate.
Yeah.
And then they get in there. It's just like the noises in the background. Yeah.
And then the guy gets his head bitten off. And then that whole scene in Piccadilly is great. That little 30 seconds of just mayhem as the thing's running around loose.
Oh my God.
It's just running around loose. Why didn't the bus just hit it? Like if you're a bus and you see like a giant bear, I would just run over it. End of movie.
Well, they ran over people instead. So.
Yeah, the guy flew out.
Same difference, right? Yeah,
that's great. Cop gets smooshed. Then you get the...
Smooshed.
Send for rifles!
I like that all the Bobbies have to ask for guns.
Yeah.
I love the doctor, too. I love how he goes back to the slaughtered lamb. He's checking it out.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of reminds me of Ian McKellen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a very good role.
Really good, because at first he's all, well, this can't be right. And then he says, I'm going to check into this. I love how he goes into the pub. They treat him like shit, too. You know, he's not a tourist. They treat him like shit. You know?
Oh, my God, the zoo. When he has to get out of the zoo.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, little boy.
Just climbs out.
Little boy, can I have those balloons?
Yeah.
A naked man took my balloons.
Mommy.
Justine, you saw this last year.
That gave me a Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing that Hulu didn't do something again with the Halloween movies, because they put out a lot of old Halloween movies for people to watch.
Like what?
And they called it Huluween.
Huh?
But I remember talking to you guys about it, and you guys recommended watching that one, this one. So I watched it, and I liked it. But I went back again to see if they were going to do movies, and they only aired like 3 or 4 now for it. It's kind of sad, but... Yeah, I didn't get a chance to rewatch it for this one, but I still remember some parts of it. And when I was a kid, I was scared of Thriller.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So watching his friend get deformed, like just scared me more and more.
I loved it.
Ooh, just the look of that just always creeps me out. It reminds me of like everything that was horror kind of looked like that when I was a kid, so it just scares me.
That's how Michael Jackson had seen this, and that he called up John Landis. And said, I want you and Rick Baker to do the Thriller video.
Just seeing it, I was like, oh, I remember this. And
that scene
freaked out.
Piccadilly, where all the dead people are like kind of debating on how he should kill himself.
Oh, I know. You could, yeah, that'd be good.
But that's probably my favorite part is just his friend, him and his friend.
Mm.
Those are my favorite parts of the movie. Didn't realize who wrote it. Or he wrote it or directed it?
According to Wikipedia, the budget was $5.8 million. And it made 62, but that could be
Across videos.
That could be, I think that was the initial theatrical run.
Still making good money.
Still a lot of money.
It's just like a different horror film, though, because it's current day at that time.
Yep.
And he's out in the public. At least in Halloween, she's in the small town, and you don't see much, and he's out in public where there's people everywhere.
In London, guys.
You put in tourist, busy London, too. Yeah. You put a wild animal out there and just be like, good luck.
It's kind of crazy. And then, they're in the movie theater, so...
And then the whole thing in the subway was amazing. Oh, the guy's alone, and you see the aerial shot of him coming toward him, and he's like, he is not going to make it.
Can you imagine? Movie.
And being in those subways, they still look like that.
The two.
Yeah, the tube still looks like that.
How about that?
There was a group
Mind the Gap.
There was a group called The Tubes.
That's right.
John, what song did they sing?
White Punks on Dope. And Don't Touch Me There.
Wait, a girl sang that?
It was a girl and a guy doing Don't a duet. Yeah, it's a wonderful duet.
This is my no-no scar.
Yeah. What was the other one? And then, they had...
I think they also sang Too Money, Peck Peck Moe. No?
What was it? What was the Tubes' big?
The biggest hit was White Punks on Dope. Don't Touch Me There. And then in the 80s, they had that Talk to You Later or whatever. They had like a second incarnation, but the original, it was kind of a bizarre sort of glam punk thing, Mondo Bondage and stuff like that.
I love it.
White Punks on Dope is a hilarious song, and Don't Touch Me There is like a... You know what it is? It sounds like Meatloaf before Meatloaf. It's like a 50s pastiche, making fun of those old, 50s duets.
Sure.
And they had really goofy names like Fee Waybill and...
They were from...
Prairie Rose and...
Love it.
Yeah.
They opened for David Bowie on the Serious Moonlight Tour.
Oh, really?
Did you know that? It seems like it would... What about Sushi Girl?
There you go. Yeah, in the 80s, they had kind of another run of hits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love it. Look them up, The Tubes. Google it. Patrick, what did you think?
I loved the special effects in this movie. It was really, really well done for the time. Like, those practical effects and the makeup is fantastic.
Rick Baker.
Yeah, and the settings for the whole movie was really cool, from the pub to him actually being in London and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. It's an intriguing story. It keeps you interested. It's funny where it needs to be, and it's dark where it needs to be. I really liked it.
Who was your favorite part of the movie?
Definitely his conversations with his friend. I mean, that just like that kind of conversation with him, and then also the pub scene's great, just because they're trying to throw everybody off of it, and they're dealing with the guilt and stuff like that. But him talking to his friend is great.
You're a good egg.
Thanks.
Those were my least favorite scenes.
What?
Him talking with his friend.
Really?
Really?
I thought he looked so gross.
That's the point. And
he's like deteriorating as he goes.
It was scary.
And you know what? It looks real. It looks like if a monster clawed your face up.
I mean, it's a good thing that they kept doing that. Yeah. They could have not, and he looked the same every time. But no, they just, that was a good
each
element.
Moon.
And they also had a chemistry. You could tell they were friends.
Yeah.
Like, he's talking about his funeral. He says, "You'll never believe who cried the hardest at my funeral."
The transformation was really well done, too. Like, the transformation into the wolf was pretty well done.
And he said, every werewolf movie, it's done in the shadows or with stop motion. And he said, "I wanted this to be in a well-lit room, and you're going to see it all happening in front of your eyes." And he asked Rick Baker, "Can you do it? Because there's going to be no shadows. You're going to have to see him doing it right in front of you."
And I'm sure Rick Baker was like, yep.
Rick Baker's the master.
And it was really painful. Good. That was another thing you never got. Like, in the old Wolfman movies, he would just kind of drift off and wake up as the Wolfman.
And he was thinking, in real life, your skeleton's changing, you're growing fangs. This is not going to be pleasant. And so all that stuff with the pneumatic, it's like latex rubber and pneumatics and all that stuff, where the snout pushes out of his face. I mean, that was all just beautiful.
Even just like the hand and the way it shifts and stuff like that, it's really cool.
Oh, and you can hear the bones cracking as they're extending. Ugh. Yeah.
That was really well done.
Better than like modern day
CGI. Yeah, it looks... Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing about practical effects. It has a vibe to it that you can't get with the CGI.
And we're going
to
talk about the next movie, but
they've done some really good blends between the two, where they've done both practical effects and CGI.
Yeah,
Star Wars has done it right in a lot of areas.
Even that last Wolfman movie with Benicio del Toro.
I didn't see it.
That was half and half. It was half Rick Baker and the half CGI.
I didn't see it. Was it good?
It was okay. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. It wasn't a hit. It had Anthony Hopkins playing his dad. You know, I forget who directed it, but they wanted it to have the feel of the old Universal films. And Rick Baker's such a werewolf fan. He says, I got to be in on this. So if there's any practical effects, I'll do it. So, wow. Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad.
I dig it.
All right, let's rank this one.
Did you see this in the theater?
American World, no. I saw it on video years later. But I loved it. That was another, this is another one that was always on
the
video store. Because there's, no, we just like, it was just cool. It was a good, it was a different take on the horror movie.
It really was. It's hard to imagine, but when this came out, nobody had ever done this sort of thing before. The humor helps leaven it. You know,
well,
you,
I love
that you kind of buy it because they are kind of making fun of it before it happens. They're like, oh, sure, you know,
yeah,
that beware the, you know, beware the more, you know, beware the moon, stay off the, you know.
But what I love is you get this whole thing, it's the, you know, the cops come, kill it,
yeah.
There he is, you know, closing shot. She's sitting there, just devastated. Her lover's dead, he's naked, he's transformed. Fade to back, and then bomb, 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 bomb.
It was such a great...
And that's the cherry on top, because they've been doing Blue Moon songs all through it. They had Moon Dance and Bad Moon Rising.
Yes, yes,
and they had Bobby Vinton. It opens with Bobby Vinton's Blue Moon.
So many good songs in this.
Sam Cooke's Blue Moon, and I just thought... That's such a great way to go out.
I can't remember, but were they playing a song while he was transforming?
Yeah, it was... It was Sam Cooke's Blue Moon, I think. Or was it Bad Moon Rising?
No, it's... Oh, I forgot what it is. Hold on, I'll tell you right now.
Was it Moon River?
It was Moon River.
I think it's the Sam Cooke Blue Moon.
Moon is it?
River.
Yeah. That worked, too. You know, so at the end, that really is sort of like just, yeah, picking the goofiest version of Blue Moon.
Yeah, that's right. It is Blue Moon by Sam Cooke.
And, God, it's just in her living room. She's out, and all of a sudden, she's like, just all of a sudden.
They throw in Van Morrison, a little moon dance. You get
the... I was impressed the living room survived that, too.
What's that? Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, it wasn't destroyed. Love it. That was the impressive part, because that means he opened the door and left.
And then when you saw, I'm sorry I made fun of you, Jack, he's just all, You know, it's just such a crazy scene. Oh, my God.
I thought
God.
The plot was done really well, too, because she's a nurse, so you buy that she would be out all day until midnight, and so he has time to be alone and go through with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's all very natural. That was the thing. Is that until this movie...
No, there, the thing's the next movie we're going to talk about.
There had been a lot of bad werewolf movies before this one.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of dopey ones. And that's... To actually see one that treated it, you know, with like with a good story, good acting, you know.
Love
it. Little, well, little self-awareness.
Did we not watch The Exorcist?
Nope. No, we did not.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Scary. Yeah. Too scary.
Too scary.
One last little tidbit.
Religious right here.
Rick Baker got the Oscar. It's the first time anybody won an Oscar for makeup. And it went to Rick Baker for this makeup.
Hey, thanks, John.
Well-deserved.
It was. That transformation scene is still awesome.
Because there was not a makeup Oscar all those years that Jack Pierce was doing Frankenstein and The Wolfman. There was no makeup award.
I feel like Rick Baker would be my nightmare home to go to. Probably go there. He's all these props would just freak me out.
You know
out.
What he's got in his house? He's got a full-size Karloff as Frankenstein. It looks just perfect. And he's just got it sitting in his living room. He just worked on this thing. It's a perfect, it looks like Karloff just walked right off the screen.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I need that.
Hopefully his family kept his stuff. It didn't get sold off or anything. That would suck.
Well, as a kid, he was mentoring under the guy that did the, Dick Smith, who did the makeup for The Exorcist. He was showing him how you could do latex rubber. You bake it in your oven. His mom said he was always like baking these latex rubber, you know, scars and eyeballs in the oven. And just every day was Halloween for this guy, you know.
Let's talk about those. Let's get those darn
scores
in there. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
John?
10. Love it. Loved it when it came out. Love it now. It's a perfect mixture of horror and humor.
Jake?
I'll give it an 8.
8.
Very solid.
Sandy?
8.5.
8.5. You really dug it.
Yeah.
Was it scary, or did it make you laugh more, or did it scare you more?
I might have laughed more.
Okay. Justine?
I give it an 8. It terrified me.
Did you really?
I'm really just scared of those kind of things. I was just so young when I saw Thriller, and then that just was... That's always in my head. So 80s
zombies.
80s scary movies always use that same effect, and it just creeps me out.
Okay, what about this? American Werewolf in London, sub out the transformation scene. It's a person turning into a butterfly.
So we're watching Metamorphosis?
Oh, no. I would not like that.
Are we going to watch The Fly?
Yeah. You know what would happen? As soon as he starts like turning, like he goes into a little, like, what is it?
The cocoon.
The cocoon. I'd be like, fuck you, Mario, and I would just stop watching.
Oh, we should watch Cocoon.
We should watch The Fly, the Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah.
I would just not continue watching. Have you ever seen The Fly? I know where it's happening, and I don't like it.
Have you ever seen The Fly with Jeff Goldblum?
No.
That's an 80s movie, right?
You should watch it. It's good.
Maybe we'll add that to the list.
I might have to. I might have to use that for mine.
No. It's not. It is icky.
It's exactly what we're talking about right now. My man, Patrick.
It's a 9. This is a solid movie.
Got a 9.
That's well done.
I give this an 8. It's a favorite. I love it. I do like it a lot. I'm not a huge horror movie guy, but this is.
I'm not either. This is one of my. I thought this. I could almost not qualify this as a horror movie.
Sure.
Just with the way it's done.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I think too. I enjoyed it more than anything else. I don't tend to go to horror movies, and so this was something that was kind of bridged the gap for me.
All right, guys. John.
Yes.
You have no idea how long these kids have been waiting for this movie.
Seriously.
We've been playing a board game based on this movie for the last...
Everything makes sense
now. For the last year and a half or so.
I had no idea. You say you've been playing the game for a year and a half.
My character choices have been horrible.
Are the characters in the board game?
Everybody's
like,
in the board
like
game.
Like Windows? And...
Mm-hmm.
That was my first game with you guys.
I love Windows.
Was it really? All right, here we go. The Thing, 1982, a remake, of course, of... Thing from Another World, the Howard Hawks classic that we watched. This is directed, of course, by John Carpenter. The screenplay by someone named Bill Lancaster. The music was by Ennio Morricone, who we love.
Great
on this
great music,
and he really does kind of take that John Carpenter synthesizer
mm-hmm.
vibe
mm-hmm.
and kind of run with it.
Yeah.
Kind of flesh it out a little bit.
Absolutely.
And it stars, of course, our friend, quickly becoming the patron saint of this podcast.
Friend of the show, Kurt Russell.
Mr. Kurt Russell.
He's the new Clint Eastwood.
Also, Wilford Brimley, T.K. Carter, Keith David.
Yeah.
Always great, Keith David.
Yeah.
Richard Dysart is in it. There's a lot of familiar faces in there. A lot of guys from 80s TV shows kind of pop up, and character actors like Donald Moffat pop in there in his eyebrows.
What's the guy's name that makes it to the end? Not Kurt Russell.
Keith David.
Keith David. He's
a child. He is a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he pops up again. We're going to see him again in Platoon.
Oh.
He actually narrates a lot of
documentaries.
Ken Burns documentaries.
I've seen him in something else.
I believe it.
He's a.
I know he's well known for something.
Yeah,
he's a good actor.
He's just so cool.
And his face is really.
He's in a million movies.
Oh, Joe, you know him from.
Requiem for a Dream.
No.
He's
no.
in that.
He's also in. He's been on Rick and Morty, by the way.
Yeah, he's the president on Rick and Morty. He's the president.
We're going to see him again in They Live, another John Carpenter classic.
That's what I'm
He does a lot of commercials.
Recently.
Does a lot of like commercials. And
what did you buy? The John Carpenter collection?
I love John Carpenter movies. So I mean, they're going to be in there.
Yeah, it seems like we're doing every movie, it seems. Like.
Almost. We didn't do The Fog.
We're not going to do The Fog?
I do like The Fog. I don't own it, but we
but
I do
we're
like
going to do Escape from New York. Is that a surprise?
No spoilers.
I thought you told us last week we were
That's weird.
I just like to
be afraid. He's been in a lot of movies afraid. I like.
Okay, who wants to talk? None of you had seen it except John and I.
Nope.
Sandy, I'm going to pick on you again.
Okay.
You've played the game. This is the first game you played in our board game group. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. The game is called The Thing Outbreak at Outpost 31. And at the beginning of the game, one person is infected, and through the course of the game, more people get infected. It's up to you to decide who's infected and who's not.
It's not me.
And if one alien is able to sneak through, it's the end of humanity, and you lose the game. So, Sandy, what did you think of the movie, first of all? Like, what did you think watching it?
First impression, I was like, wow, this is so gross.
Yeah.
Made it even creepier.
Yeah.
Yeah, the special effects, like all of the blood and gooey stuff and innards and
tentacles
so
and
so much.
There's also something about the way everything moves that makes it look alien. Everything, nothing's fluid, and it's because they're using puppets and stuff. But I think that just adds to the creep factor.
Mm-hmm. And some stuff is shot in reverse.
Yes,
which, and that makes it look alien,
which makes it look weird too.
Yeah, that it's shot backward.
Mm-hmm. You know, to make some of those effects work,
like the things that are shooting out of it. I think sometimes they're doing it in reverse. Yeah, or under cranking or over cranking. They wanted it to look alien. You know.
Did you enjoy it though? Was
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You definitely feel like you don't trust any of them. Mm-hmm. And the shots, like, they don't show you enough of the person if they're, like, planning on killing someone or hurting someone else or taking them over. Like, they'll grab up a knife, but you only see the knife in a fist. And you're like, oh my God, who is it?
Yeah. He, like John said, with Halloween, there's a certain way that John Carpenter shoots these things. And we watched Assault on Precinct 13, which was a very low-budget movie.
So good.
But there was a lot of suspense in that movie. And you know, you're kind of rooting. It's the same kind of thing where it takes that and kind of stands that idea on its head, because now you have people who are stuck in kind of this environment, and they can't trust each other. In Assault on Precinct 13, they have to trust each other. In this one, they can't trust each other. They absolutely cannot. And so
you're surrounded, too.
Yeah, and to me, the horror in this comes out in the idea that you're among people, but you're absolutely alone.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no one you can, and only you know if you're really you or not.
Yeah.
Were you actually scared, Sandy? Was it like a physical reaction, or were you just like, this movie makes me uncomfortable at times, where you're just like...
Yeah. I'm not a huge horror person, and I don't like take things to be real whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely creepy in that the situation is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And definitely thinking everything is gross.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel it as like a whole.
Like you weren't like terrified. Okay. But I'm glad you like it. Jake.
Yes.
What'd you think, man? You've been playing the game for a long time. Who's making that noise?
Having played the game beforehand, it makes so much sense now.
And my character choice is going to be so different. I'm just saying it right now.
That's why I always grab MacReady. You guys never know. Give me MacReady. I'm going to be MacReady.
You were so mad when I was MacReady last time. Someone gave me the thing and they were like, you get to be whoever you want. I'm like, I'm going to be Kurt Russell.
Son of a bitch.
Hottest one in the game.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I already loved the game before, but I love it so much more now that it mimics the movie so well, in that you can never... You never really know who to trust. You don't exactly know who's doing what, or, you know, someone goes off screen and they kind of throw red herrings, or, you know, someone's jacket's over here, someone has torn clothes, and you never really know to the very end who it is. And yeah, really great. All the transformations of the imitations were really gross.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he cranked the grossness up to 11,
and it's with still, all those this, things. This movie's, you know, 40 years old, and you're trying to figure out how they did some of that stuff still. You're going, oh wow, that looks really like the whole thing with when the head's coming off and like all of the tendons and
stuff snapping to move,
like, and super green inside. It doesn't look
it's like tearing and snapping, and it's
I think my least favorite is the almost formed dog.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah, the poor dogs get it.
Yeah.
But that's how good the imitation is when you think about it. It gets in and the dogs have no idea until it starts to transform.
It's so sad. Then, and they're trapped in there with him. Oh, yeah, it made me so sad.
The dogs are trying to get out. But
I felt like crying.
Dogs are smart enough to get the fuck away.
Yeah,
they're trying to get through the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way that shot is said that... And then I love the way that shot where you can't really get a good look at it. You're not quite sure it's in the dark. And then, you know... Justine, you really were...
Are you talking to me now?
Yeah, I know you're...
Oh, my God.
Let's save you for the end.
Oh, no.
Can't do that.
I've been waiting so long to talk about this movie.
Okay, go, Justine, go.
I love this movie. I love it.
And this is... It's not just because of Kurt Russell.
But
Kurt Russell is great in this.
He's definitely great in it.
And how different is he from Used Cars? Where you see Used Cars, Kurt Russell.
I like him in this because he's not trying to be this charming guy.
No, he's just
just this regular guy who's pissed off and wants to know who's human. And
he's kind of a world-weary guy.
He decides to be the leader, and it's awesome.
He's up at this base, and he's got, you know, He's not going to trust anyone else with his life.
You know what, though? Your playing the game made me like it a lot more. I'll say that did affect me watching this movie.
Yeah.
But I was upset that there is no helicopter, because if you play the board game, in the board game, you have to choose four people to go onto the helicopter that you hope are going to be human and not imitations.
Yeah.
And then you make it off, and if someone's an imitation, you lose.
Yeah, you had to. They had
There's
to write
no it. Hope in this game. Or sorry, in this movie.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
It was so sad because as soon as I see that they blew up the helicopter.
Everything.
Yeah, they blew it up. I'm like, what the? How are they supposed to? What?
Well, that one moment where he says, "Well, we're not making it out. We got to make sure it doesn't make it out either."
Yeah, and I thought maybe there was another helicopter, and then the guy underneath the basement, the one he was making. I'm like, "Oh, he took all the parts. How are they going to get out?"
He's
and
making
I just,
a spaceship.
Yeah, they had to write an ending for the game.
Yeah, the whole time I just kept thinking, "How is he going to make this?" Like,
but what I love about the game is it doesn't ruin that ending for you.
No, it doesn't.
So even though you guys knew some of what was going to happen,
but it gave you hope watching the movie, and it just broke my heart. I felt so bad for Carol. Anyways, so I was reading all the stuff behind, and I was telling you how the directors, someone asked him recently.
That's what I was going to talk about.
So someone asked him. Oh, you weren't in here when you were talking.
Nope.
Did you do the research?
So
I did.
Someone asked the director what happened, like who was he an imitation or
was Childs an imitation or not?
So he says it's obvious when you watch the film, you can check by their breathing. So I rewatched the thing and saw the breathing in it, and yeah. He does not have any...
Childs doesn't breathe.
Yeah, you don't see it come out. Mm. So genius. It's so genius because you'd have to rewatch it again and kind of know to look for that. Otherwise, it wasn't something I paid attention to. So, director's awesome.
John Carpenter, man, he's he's got his own vision and he sticks to it. I'm going to actually read some of the stuff that they talked about. So Justine, you loved every second of it?
I need to rewatch it with the commentary that John watched it with.
Yeah, because it's John Carpenter and Kurt Russell, and they watch the whole movie and talk through the whole movie about what's going on.
I just wanted to dissect the movie up.
Well, they do it. Well, you're going to find out so much when you hear that commentary.
Yes.
They talk about what they were doing this day on the set.
Can someone make a podcast about it? I will listen to it. Just keep talking about it. I'm on like a 10-part
podcast. You make a podcast about
You've got a DVD player?
Yes.
You know what? I'll loan you the disc. It's because there's so many extras. They talk about the production design.
John, you're going to ruin Christmas.
There's like an hour and a half thing where they just talk about how they made the movie. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I love this movie.
Or I could like not find it.
I kind of am mad at myself for watching it so fast. You announced it. I watched Halloween like the next day. And then on the same day, I watched The Thing. And I've just been holding my thoughts for a while. And I just...
This is why I watch things the day before we do the show.
Yeah, let's not do that either.
I'm so excited. I love the movie was great. I don't think it was scary. It's just...
It's more gross. It's more gross than scary, but it's still... The idea, like, the gross stuff doesn't...
It's suspenseful, for
sure. It is
sure.
suspenseful. For me, like I said, the horror isn't... I mean, it is. The alien stuff is horrifying. But to me, the real scary part is... Like I told you guys, this is the opposite of Alien for me. Like... I always go back and forth whether or not Alien and The Thing are like my favorite horror movie. And I always say...
They're so different, though.
In the end, the alien is terrifying, but you have people that you're working with to try to kill the alien, even though you're not successful.
Yeah, it was good that he had some people.
Yeah, in The Thing, it's like, dude, you're on your own. Like, you know...
You really are on your own. Even though you're surrounded by people you've been working with, you're friends with.
Dude, he freaking gets windows on his side, and you're just like, oh, you can see it in his face. He's like, thank God there's someone else.
But when they all, like, leave, and then they come back in the blizzard,
so
and they're just trying to trust each other, that was
Stop
really good.
Stop separating.
But when the head separated from the guy, it was just reminding me of Mars Attack, when it's just her head on top of the chihuahua's body.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, that's exactly what happened.
He said that moment, he said he loves monster movies, but in the end, most monster movies when he was a kid, it's usually a guy in a suit. No matter how good it is, bottom line is, if it's a creature or a monster, it's a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
And he said he wanted something that wasn't obviously a guy in the suit. And he said when Rob Bottin, the special effects makeup guy, when he came up with that thing where the head pops off and scuttles away on the spider legs, he says, okay, we finally did it. We got a monster that isn't just a guy in a suit.
No, that's impressive.
Because a guy in a suit could not do that.
Patrick, what did you think, buddy?
I really, really, really enjoyed this movie. And I agree with Justine that the board game, just playing it beforehand, makes it so much better.
It affected
But it doesn't affect the movie at all. And just, it was really fascinating to see how the character dynamics breaks down and how different people interact and fall apart and stuff like that. And you truly don't know who is and who isn't until the end of the movie.
Yeah, because the doctor, look
like Blair, the whole time I thought he was just trying to protect humanity.
He was at
maybe
first.
At first he was,
and then yeah.
And somehow
it got to him.
Somebody went to visit him out in the shed.
That's right.
And remember, exactly. People are coming and going. You never know.
I know. It's almost like they should have just stayed. All 12 of them should have, like, don't let anybody out of your sight. You know.
That's what I love about it is that you don't know.
Yeah.
They never explain when anything happens.
And, like, for a remake, it was really well done, especially to, like, the whole nod to the original movie with the Norwegians and how, like, they're blowing the ice with thermite and stuff like that. That was a really nice touch.
Yeah, they're showing, it looks like a clip from the movie when they're standing around there.
Yeah. It was really cool.
No, it wasn't
an exact clip, it was just like a...
It did look. They staged
it. Was definitely
it
a nod to it.
They staged it
exactly the same.
Well, they
way.
Did a great job.
I mean, John Carpenter was a huge fan of that. That's what made him do this.
As a matter of fact, he said when he was a kid, that's what made him want to be a director. Was seeing The Thing. He said, "I want to be a director. This is incredible." He'd seen it, like, he says he's seen it at least 50 times.
This was a much better monster than a walking carrot. I will say that.
Well, oh my God! Yes.
But you know what he says? This is. They went back to the book. The guy that wrote the screenplay for this, he went back to the book. He said, "We're gonna." The book was more like, "Where is it hiding? It's hiding. It's.
It's in you."
They said they couldn't do that in the 50s. As good as the Howard Hawks movie was, they couldn't do the whole thing where he's like a chameleon. And they said, now we can do it. And the book, they said it was close. The book was called Who Goes There. And they said that's what the real terror was. This thing is just replicating and you don't know who you're
talking
to. That's
what makes
it,
and I agree with Mario, that's what makes it so much scarier is the fact that you don't know who is infected.
Yeah.
And
just the fact that, like, even he kills off people who aren't infected, like, that happens constantly.
Yeah. Now, this movie is now considered a classic. It did not do well. It kind of bombed. John, did you see it at the theater? Or
I did, but the problem was it came out 2 weeks after E.T., so all anybody wanted to talk about was E.T.
Makes sense.
And they wanted the friendly alien, not the... John Carpenter says they made their minds up. They wanted to go see the friendly alien and not the brutal, you know, monstrous alien.
People don't want the truth.
And somebody said it. The timing was just, they should have put it out like a year later or something. They, you know, they don't have control over that.
Month did it come out, though?
June 1982.
Oh, you know, if they did it in October, it would have.
Yeah,
really
but
well.
They said just put some space between it and E.T. They said that did not help matters. That it was.
It's weird to think that this was out at the same time as E.T.
I know.
You look at them. It actually had a budget of $15 million. Only made 19.6.
Wow.
So it did not do well. But I wanted to read this for you. The film received negative reviews on its release and hostility for its cynical, anti-authoritarian tone and graphic special effects. Cinefantastique printed an issue with The Thing on the cover asking, is this the most hated movie of all time?
Wow.
Some reviewers were dismissive of the film, calling it the quintessential moron movie of the 80s.
Jeez.
Instant junk and a wretched excess.
God.
Starlog's Alex Spencer called it a cold and sterile horror movie, attempting to cash in on the genre audience against the optimism of E.T., the reassuring return of Star Trek II, the technical perfection of Tron, and the sheer integrity of Blade Runner.
There is something that came up, the very first thing that shows on the trivia when you watch this movie, is it says that there's no woman except for the computer talking back one time.
And I believe that computer is Jamie Lee Curtis? I think it's the voice of the computer, maybe?
I don't know about that.
No.
I never even thought about that.
Well, they were saying, they were like, there was a character that was a woman, and now it's just a voice, and she only speaks in the beginning of the movie, and that's it.
You know, that commentary track, they addressed that. They said, you know, in the original thing, there's a couple women.
Yeah.
And he says, that was interesting. He said, we just thought it'd be more interesting. There hadn't been a movie in a while. He says, we could have put a couple women in there, but it kind of streamlined the story that it's just a bunch of guys.
I mean, if they did a woman, they would have made a love story out of it.
Well, not even that. The women probably would have been a little bit more rational than the men.
And it might have been another.
People might have lived, so, you know, that's probably for the best.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
The impact on Carpenter was immediate. He lost his job of directing the 1984 science fiction horror movie Firestarter because of The Thing's poor performance. His previous success had gained him multiple film contracts at Universal, but the studio opted to buy him out instead.
Wow.
He continued making films afterward, but lost confidence and did not openly talk about The Thing's failure until a 1985 interview with Starlog, where he said, I was called a pornographer of violence. I had no idea it would be received that way. That's crazy, because now people kind of look back and go, this movie is awesome.
They should have played the board game.
Well, on the on the commentary track, I think this commentary track was recorded like maybe early 2000s, and both him and Kurt Russell say, you know, yeah, it didn't do well at first, but he says, what's kind of nice now is when you somebody on the street says, hey, loved the thing. Kurt Russell says, he gets people, they stop him and go, loved you in the thing.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's kind of satisfying that now it's found its audience. It took a while.
Mm-hmm. I would tell him the same thing. Like, you were awesome in the thing.
And John Cameron says he gets the same thing, that people now go, my God, that's why I got into movies. And he says, well, that's kind of nice, because that's why I got into movies. Well,
so here's my number.
Here's my ultimate. Yeah.
Here's but that's a drag. You have to wait 10, 15 years for it to become a cult hit, you know?
They even did an episode of The X-Files where they were stuck in the... You remember that? Where they had like those little worms that were getting inside people?
Oh,
they were stuck
God.
Up in Antarctica. And there's little CGI worms.
Like, I don't remember that
episode. Yeah, they did a whole thing on. We're like, hey, it's the thing.
Maybe. Wasn't he a big star, though?
Who?
To be on
No, it was X-Files. It was
the idea.
It was Mulder and Scully were stuck at this... they went to an Arctic base.
Kurt Russell wasn't actually on.
Kurt Russell wasn't on.
Oh, okay. I thought he was. I was like, isn't he?
Sorry, just a little slow.
Yeah, so let's...
Oh, do you guys want to know what you ranked the thing from Another World?
Sure.
I gave it a 4. Patrick gave it a 9. Jake gave it a 7.
It was good.
And Mario and John gave it a 9. And Sandy gave it a 7.5.
It may have been a walking carrot, but it was a scary one.
And that was
carrot.
One of your
it's a very
first.
Very scary carrot, yeah.
That was Sandy's, one of her first episodes where she stayed now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's. Man, I love this movie. Good. The physical effects.
It does, like, that is really sad that it didn't get the acclaim it deserves. That kind
of
bothers me.
It was ahead of its time. Because now you look at it, and it doesn't seem so cynical.
No.
We've seen movies that are much more cynical.
And the effects look great.
Did it knock you out the first time you saw it, Mario?
Oh, I was terrified.
First time?
Because you don't know what's going on. You're just like, and all this weird stuff. Yeah. I was probably around 12 or 13 when I saw it, maybe. Yeah. I saw it on home video right away because my brother was like, you got to see
video
this.
Hustle.
Yeah. My brother was a huge Kurt Russell guy.
Yeah.
He liked John Carpenter.
Yeah.
And so he was like, here, you got to check this movie out. You know? So this was after... this was after Escape from New York, which is a huge hit.
Yeah.
And it was very low budget compared to... The Thing is probably the most cinematic of all the John Carpenter movies, because it actually has a budget. A lot of his stuff kind of has that low budget.
And he had a studio behind
him. And the way
him.
He plays with the shadows and the light, does a really great... It's beautiful.
It's really well done.
Yeah, it's well shot. I don't get the complaints.
He's a great director, and he can do it on a shoestring budget, and he can do it with money.
And that's the thing. He said, I knew how to do things with less money. He said it was kind of nice to for once have a big budget, and that's so you don't have that squeezing you.
Yeah, he just put it all in the effects.
Exactly. It's all up on the screen. He says, we had an amazing crew, and they're really up there. I think it's like British Columbia. And then some of it was shot in Alaska. So he said, it really was brutally cold. We were up there, and he said, we all bonded. He said, it kind of helped because the cast and crew bonded, and so that shows on the screen, too. You've been hanging out together.
Sure.
So that's something you can't put into words, you know?
I want to go play this board game now.
Yeah.
Shout out to the music. Nice and eerie.
Yeah.
Ennio Morricone.
But, you know, if it's going up against E.T.'s music, it's pretty classic.
I can see why the issue as far as, like, releasing at the same time. Yeah, that's going to happen. It's just... It's unfortunate that it happened.
You just think it would be a different audience.
And
that the people that would want to see it would not be the E.T. crowd.
Yeah, and E.T. is a feel-good movie in the end. Like, this isn't...
And do people only have enough money to see one Alien movie?
Yes, so.
Well, everybody was going back.
For this year,
everybody was going back to see E.T.
I know.
And they're probably like, let's go see another Alien movie. E.T. was good. Oh, my God.
And I'll tell you something. When I saw E.T., I liked it. But when I saw it a second time, it did not work. I could see where he was pulling all the strings emotionally.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't the effects that didn't hold up. It was like, okay, this works once, and it did not work the second time. Because somebody said, hey, let's go see it again. I'm like, okay. And I was like, this is not knocking me out. So,
wow.
With The Thing, it's better every time I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like this last time I saw it, I hadn't seen it in a while, and I thought, I forgot how goddamn good this is. Yeah.
So I asked everybody beforehand, I don't know if you were here, Patrick, I said, think of who got it the worst in The Thing. Who had the worst death in The Thing? My vote is for the doctor who goes to paddle the guy's chest with the defibrillator. And then it opens up into some teeth and just
bites his arms off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That freaked me out when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I feel like Windows got it pretty bad, too.
Right in the face.
Right in the face, getting thrown around like a ragdoll. And then gets burned alive.
Yeah. He's already assimilating.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than freezing to death.
Who froze to death?
Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the worst, because that's just painful. And you,
no, you just go to sleep.
At a certain point, I think you just...
After a certain point, you just knock out.
Not out, yeah.
I'm good.
Justine?
I'm good. I'd rather die in a gory, instantaneous death.
I give it to the dog.
Oh,
which one?
That was the hardest one to watch.
I kind of agree. I think the dogs had it the worst.
It was just hard, because and then the other dog's locked in there with him.
They're trapped in that kennel. They can't get out.
Oh, my God.
Sandy?
I give it to the two humans who died from gunshot by... Kurt Russell.
No, right in the head. Yeah,
only one died from gunshot.
One died from Kurt Russell, one died from the camp commander.
Oh, yeah, he was good shot. Still,
and both innocent, both died.
Kurt's reaction time on that.
Sample. He didn't wait. He told him.
It was a split second.
That's the thing. That's the thing. He said, nobody, but he was on edge. He's like, nobody come at me.
Yeah.
I've got this gun. I'm going to use it.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
And at least he's honest.
Yeah.
That was really close. That was really close.
Gotta love the Kurt Russell. I watched this movie with my mom, 85-year-old mother. She laughed when the head came off. She thought that was funny. She's like, oh my God. And then she kept calling Kurt Russell the good-looking one. And
hell yeah.
She's like, is the good-looking one an alien? Who's an alien? And she was, my mom is really good. True story, my mom figured out the plot of The Sixth Sense before the movie was done, which was irritating to me. I was like, check this out, Mom. She's like, oh, yeah, he is. And I was like, what? But she was so annoyed that she could not figure out who was who.
Yeah.
And she was so irritated. I was like, you just got to wait and see, Mom.
Yeah, you don't know until it happens.
Because
wait.
That's
you
the way it's constructed, yeah. Which is what drives
it's
you.
It's well done.
There's no telling. There's no... Nobody acts weird. Nobody...
I didn't know until, like, I had to look it up. So... Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you, I'm okay now, guys. I want to come back. I want to come back
at that
inside.
Point, he was okay.
Yeah. I want to come back inside. He's got a noose. He's got a noose.
I love that.
I want to come back inside.
I've calmed down now, really. I don't want to be out here. I don't want to be out here anymore.
The only thing he didn't say was diabetes.
Oh, I wish.
Liked him.
The great Wilford Brimley. Well, he is trying to save humanity at first because... What's crazy about
he's the first one to figure it out.
And he goes nuts because it's so much responsibility.
He realizes what he has to do.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I liked him a lot. It's just he kind of got crazy.
That was the best. Well, but you know what that's like? That's like Jake when he runs the table at board game night.
Drunk on power?
He's drunk on power. He's like, no, you have to listen to me. I know.
Do you do that, Jake?
He does.
No.
Yes. He's like, oh, yeah.
I love
human.
His old, no.
I do it when I'm innocent.
Yeah, exactly.
And it comes out horrible.
And what happens? You get locked in a cellar.
But every time it happens,
Jake always gets left behind.
You guys.
We always leave him.
You guys leave me.
Thou doth protest too much.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, my greatest one in that game is when I was an alien. And you
I
guys
was on your team.
You guys voted me captain, and the whole thing is you vote one person captain, and that person has to decide who's going to go on. So the humans had already lost. I let them debate for like 20 minutes.
That's messed
and
up.
I go, everybody flip your cards. I went,
I did that last time, and you were like, she's an alien.
I knew it. I knew you were an alien the last time. It's fun. That's a fun game.
I was an alien from the start.
John, you got to play with us.
Yeah, I'd like to play that.
You'll love it. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. And they have little models of the monsters.
Yeah, no kidding.
Even the head.
Yeah,
those are the small ones.
Yeah.
Let's rank this sucker.
Rank it.
Let's just go all tens and put the books away. We'll go around the table, starting with Patrick to my left.
Is it 10?
Justine?
10.
Sandy? You don't have to give it a 10 if you don't want to.
Yeah, the main castle, no.
9.5.
And the rest. So close.
So close.
So close.
Uh-huh. We almost had a perfect game.
Almost.
What do you got, Jake?
I'll give it a 10. Yeah, it was good.
Don't give it a 10.
Peer pressure?
It's a 10 for sure.
It's a 10 for me.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so Sandy doesn't count, so it's...
So it's a perfect score for everyone?
It's a perfect score.
It's almost,
What keeps it from being a 10 for you, Sandy?
She said it's creep. It was gross, right?
It's supposed to be.
No, but I mean, imagine that. I mean,
poor Windows.
Who would have thought?
I love it. Poor Windows.
Who would have thought years ago when this came out that we would
like
all
he
be
just doing... gets the brunt of it the whole time. He's just trying to talk to somebody on the radio.
Yeah,
I know. Right from the beginning, Wilford's all get on there and get them on the
phone. You're a good Wilford Brimley.
It's the right thing to do. Eat your oatmeal. It's the right
diabetes.
Thing to do.
Diabetes.
I want to come inside.
I want to come inside. I want to grow a mustache.
Calm down now. Calm down.
I'm okay.
I'm okay now.
I'm all right now, and I don't want to be out here anymore. I just don't want to be out here anymore.
I hear things.
It's cold.
What does he say? I hear things.
Yeah.
That's creepy. I hear weird things.
But he had a whole thing in the basement.
Oh, gosh.
I love that. Makes him guilty. He's really been busy.
How long were they up there to give him that much time?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's an alien with a big brain, so I think he was able to do it pretty quick.
So two movies next week?
No, we're doing three for Halloween.
Oh, okay. So Creepshow, Twilight Zone, the movie, and Aliens.
That's it.
Ooh, Aliens.
Creepshow, so good.
Twilight Zone, the movie. Aliens. I thought of like three or four other movies we could have done. We could have done Fright Night. We could have done, which we'll be getting to. But
I wanted to do
Aliens. Well, we're going to get to it in a couple weeks.
It doesn't have to be Halloween to do a scary movie. Yeah.
But there's some good 80s. There's some good 80s horror, and there's some bad 80s horror.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see a little
of
both.
Nightmares about things latching on my face again.
Oh, man.
Thriller music video. That's what we're all going to watch, guys.
We can throw that in there as a bonus.
Absolutely.
The
Fly. Are we going to do The Fly?
I don't have it, but we could throw it in there. I mean,
David Cronenberg. That is a disturbing.
If you want Cronenberg's a disturbing, gross movie, The Fly. That's the good one.
Yeah.
We can will it to him.
This guy's got a shotgun on me. I'm going to barf on his. I'm going to barf on his leg.
I love when he's like, "What's this? I don't know." He's got all these things growing out of him. What's this? I don't know. Brundlefly. Remember, he starts referring to himself as Brundlefly. Is Gina Davis in that?
Yeah,
she's the love interest. Gina Davis, and then they got married, didn't they?
Yeah,
in real life.
Yeah,
and she was married to Brundlefly.
I think they're divorced.
Remember the they are. Remember the poster? It says, "Be afraid, be very afraid."
Yeah,
and they got this like, thing coming out of the.
I pardon you from life. My favorite.
He's so weird.
He's Jeff Goldblum-ish.
Yeah. You know him. He's like Christopher Walken. He's got a really odd way of
He
removes all the punctuation. Interesting thing.
Because he thinks his sentence out as he says it.
Yeah. That's why he's great in Jurassic Park.
You feel his thought process as he's talking. Yeah.
His interviews with people are the most horrible thing to watch. It's just so awkward.
Yeah, he does.
And he brings up the craziest things.
Interviews with people?
He doesn't interview well.
Does he do a podcast?
No, he does. He does great interviews.
Oh, you mean when he's with somebody doing an interview?
Well, I mean, the host loves to interview
him. Listen to the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend where he's
Yes,
on.
I heard that one.
It's so good.
It's so horrible to listen to.
It's so good.
He's just so awkward in his story. And he like, kind of hits on you.
Yeah.
He likes hitting on the guys. He's like, oh, why? How come you don't like to do that?
Yeah.
It's great.
He hits on the guys?
This.
Yeah, but I feel that with Goldblum. Like, he's just... There's no gender. He's Jeff Goldblum.
Exactly.
There's no gender or specific gender or sexuality.
Yeah.
He is Jeff Goldblum. And you will be absorbed like the thing.
What are those commercials he was doing? Was it for like insurance or something? Or he's walking through the house going, hey, you want a bagel? You know, here's a bagel for you. Going, God, that's weird. What are you doing in my house? Jeff Goldblum. And he says, be afraid. Be very afraid.
All right, guys. What a great Halloween show. So go home. If you haven't watched it yet, watch The Thing. Watch Halloween 2.
Play The Thing board game. You can skip Halloween 2.
I'll skip Halloween 2.
Play American Werewolf
that
in
one
London,
you should
the
watch.
Board game.
Sure, that was good.
Is there a board game for
that? No, there should be.
You know what you could do is you could watch Werewolf of London and then an American Werewolf in London.
There you go.
There you go. It'd be kind of fun.
All right. For Jake, for John, for Justine, for Patrick, for Sandy, we say fight the power, fight the ghosts and goblins, because it's Halloween, guys.
Spooky.
So scary.
And this transmission ends.
No.